Welcome to the phenomenal teaching ministry of Pastor Japhet Joseph, lead pastor of the Pistis Place. It is our vision to see convictions birthed in the hearts of men, thereby establishing Christ. Spiritual growth beckons. Ready?
Please, all that you are learning, all that God is bringing across to you, maximize it. As I said yesterday, the classes that God is taking you through are proof of what you would become. So God is intentional. The word of the Lord says he has not called the house of Jacob to seek him in vain. So when God brings men to seek him, it's because there's a purpose in his heart. I want to quickly run this morning so that we have a good time to pray concerning what we had yesterday and today. So if we have about 15 minutes out of the remaining part of my time, I always like to keep to the time specified. So if I have 15 minutes out of the remaining time for us to pray, it will be a good time for us to make progress on the word. I'm going to mention some things in passing that can be wisdom for you as it relates to the kind of army that God is raising this season. So please note it down because you will need it. One of the things that keeps a soldier of Christ perpetually awake is hunger. No matter what God begins to bring you into, I beg you, don't stop being hungry. Hunger will keep you awake. Children are designed to sleep for so long, but there is something that has the power to wake them up, is hunger. You want to stay always on fire. Let your hunger for God, not for things, for God, let it be wild. God never sees hungry men and allows them to go without being full. The Bible told us of the days of Jesus Christ where people had stayed with him in the wilderness for about 2 nights. And as he saw the multitude, he had compassion on them and began to seek for how he would fill them because he knew that they were hungry. When Jesus sees any man that is hungry, he ensures that he keeps filling him. And the beauty of what God does by filling a man is that when he fills you, you get hungry again. If you live hungry, you will always be on fire for God. There are three things that shapes a man's mind, because the mind is very important when we are talking about a military man, an army. The mind is key. And there are three things that shape the man's mind. Number one, what is seen? And I'm going to be spending time on that today. Number one is what is seen. As a matter of fact, it is what he sees that he ultimately becomes. So guard the gateway of your eyes. Number two, what is hearing? Jesus Christ said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." What you hear will shape what you will become. Number three is what is experiencing, encounters. Every man's decision, whether knowingly or unknowingly, is shaped by these three things. We are all born the same way. It's either you are born through a cesarean section or a vaginal birth. Every man is born that same way. But you see, after a while, the differences of what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you have experienced will begin to shape your actions, your reaction, your motive, your intention, your behavior. You will be shocked at many people on the face of the earth that their behavior now is because of just what they saw in their family. Many people react differently to different things. It could be with the opposite sex. It could be with money. I'm talking about the things that will show itself in your life and try to fight what God has given you. What you have seen, what you have heard, and what you are encountering will determine how you react to these things. If you will overcome or you will fail. As you begin to grow in God, guard the gateways of your eyes. Guard the gateways of your ears. And be very intentional about encounters. I'm begging you. Because several times God will bring you to a situation of encounter. But if you devalue it, it may take many years for you to have a repeat of that. An example was the example of Jacob after he had stolen his brother's blessing and was running to meet Laban, his uncle, to hide himself. The Bible said he stumbled at a place. And in that place, he slept. And as he slept in that place, he had a revelation of angels ascending and descending. It was something that was unusual. He said it was not one angel, it was many angels. And he said when he looked at the top of the ladder, it was God seated on that top. Only for him to wake up out of that encounter and say, Kai, God was here and I did not know it. There are many people who will come to a place that God is. It is when God has left that they realize God came. You see, he trivialized that experience only for him to go and spend 21 years looking for something that he already has. Because you see, what people labor for in that generation was the blessing. That's why they were fighting for it. So they blessed him and he had no experience of that blessing. That's why Apostle Lazarus was saying yesterday that you might be anointed, but you still need a touch. That touch is what we call an activation. He had the opportunity for that activation, but there was zero man. He didn't maximize it. So after 21 years, he returns to a mountain. And in that mountain, what is now meeting is not many angels ascending and descending. It's one angel. Does somebody understand what I'm saying? Now he maximizes and wars with that angel until his name is changed. What would have happened if he maximized it 21 years ago on the day angels were ascending and descending? What will have happened if he saw the opportunity and with his two hands he grabs it? Why many people have not seen the hand of God in their life was because there have been stirrings of waters and they never jumped into it. But you see, that is not even the painful thing. Because when you look at that story also, whereby there was a stirring of water, a man sat down there for 38 years, couldn't maximize one encounter. The Bible said it was a pool. So everywhere around that pool were many people, sick, lame. All kinds of situations were in that pool waiting for one angel to steer the water so that they can jump in. But guess what? One day, it was not an angel that showed up. It was the river of life himself that passed by. They were waiting for the pool. The river came. And the interesting thing is that the river begins a conversation with a man. Identifies the problem of the man. Commands the man to pick up his mat and begin to walk. The man begins to walk, yet nobody there. If you have gone to a place where there are many beggars, you will hear the conversation that is going on, and yet somebody is getting a miracle beside you, and nobody is asking, river, give me some to drink. I pray for you, God will begin to help you to maximize opportunities. I had the privilege of being in a place where our Father and the Lord, when I'm talking about my Father and the Lord, I'm talking about Daddy Gio. Maybe some of you know that I come from the Redeemed Christian Church of God. I had the privilege of being in a place, a closed door, where there were going to be one or two impartations. It was my own first time of getting that close to him. We have had meetings with him, but he has never directly said, I'm going to impart today. And it was going to take 3 days to meet him. Many people came for that meeting the first time, because it has happened in about 7 years, but I've had the opportunity for two. At the very first time when I went there, I slept on the chair for 3 days, and I didn't mind because I knew why I'd come. There were people there who used it as a meeting point to meet friends. But every time I saw them discussing, the only thing that I was doing was like Elisha. When they ask him, do you know that your master will be taken today? And he's saying, shut up, I know. I know why I've come. For 3 days, I sat on the chair, no food, because what I kept on saying to myself is that this was the same hand that came upon Bishop David Oyedepo that gave him a wisdom that the world cannot fathom. That hand will not touch my head and waist. You see, after the impartation, as we were walking out, I heard somebody saying something, boasting that for her, that the GO has actually laid hand on her 3 times. And the only question I asked myself, and you are like this. Because I knew what happened to me after I left there. I was in a meeting. And the power of God, you see, I'm now very gentle. If you go and listen to my old sermons, I can be wild. But something has touched me. His stature, the ability to decree without noise, and you will see a shift. I'm going to decree here, and you will test it. Because that's what I asked for. A sweatless life that I will say it and it will happen. My words will no longer be empty. I don't want much. I want to say it and you see it. So the lady walked out and said, he has touched him. And I said, you are like this. So I was talking about the meeting I went. When the power of God began to move and there was a lady who was possessed, when they brought her to the altar, the name she was shouting was not my name. She said, Adeboye. As she said that, I confirmed that I caught something. I'm praying for you again in the day God brings you to close encounters that will shift you. You will be able to maximize it. Because the story I want to share with you today is an opportunity to maximize grace, to become a man who is close to grace and still not be able to see the manifestation in his life. And the name of that person is Gehazi. You know his story. But I won't even look at some of the other things that he did. I will just stay on one very interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 to 17. He says, when the servants of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was round about the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about Elisha. I'm going to take this verse one after the other. So let's go together. You're going to have at least 15 minutes to press into sight, into hearing and into alignment now. You need it as a military man. Something must shape your life to walk in order. My sister that was introducing me was talking about wisdom the other time. People get wise, people get wise too late. That's always the problem. People end up getting wise. Experience teaches. The only issue is that people get wise too late. But God is giving someone wisdom here. Let your amen be loud. So let's look at this story very quickly from that verse 15. The Bible introduces a situation whereby the servant of the man of God saw an army coming against them. And we need to understand what happened. What happened was that the king of Syria wanted to attack the children of Israel. He had been trying, but he's realizing that every time he tries, it's looking like all of his strategies, they knew about it. And the first thing he began to think of is that there has to be somebody who is telling them my secret. Because how can we be talking about something in our chamber of intimacy, a boardroom, and yet people outside are hearing about it? He can't fight them, he can't conquer them, he can't do anything until somebody rose up and said, "Sir, it's not a problem with us. Is that there is a strange man. And the name of that strange man is Elisha. The problem is not the army of Israel. The problem is one man. And that one man, irrespective of where you say what you are saying, he has been given a kind of hearing antenna that whatsoever is a secret to us is exposed to him." That's when the scripture became real, that the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. It's not just the secret of the Lord that are with them that fear him. I came to increase it for you to know today that the secret of men and the devil are with God. So because they are with God, they are also with men that fear him. How can somebody be talking about something in his room and it is bare in the sight of a man? Number two thing he proves, that God still speaks. And if there is something that the believer in Christ must have as a man who is on an assignment and worrying for God as an awakened army, he must still have ears that hear. Because we are controlled by instruction. We cannot joke with the ability to hear from God. So irrespective of what the king was planning, the word of God was always coming to Elisha that was directing him, ordering him, and telling Israel what they need to do. And nobody can harm them. If we know this devil's weapons and the devil's secrets, how will he be able to overcome us? Too many things are catching us unprepared. That's why we are always failing. There is absolutely nothing that has confronted me by the mercies of God that God did not even show me at least weeks before. Sometimes years before. And then including people. And then I begin to watch. Because I know that the only reason why God is showing me something is because something is coming. In Psalm 119 verse 105. The psalmist said, "The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The ability to hear God's word provides light to where you are walking, because it was not given to any man to direct his steps. What you need as a torchlight of direction is the word that comes from God. And God still speaks to men when they are near him. You can't hear God because you are too far away. And you need to begin to accept responsibility. People don't like hearing the truth of the things that are affecting them. If you are close enough, you will hear. Bible told us in 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. It says, now in those days the word of God was scarce and visions were rare. Even in scarcity, there was still a young boy whose habitation was by the ark until he began to hear his name. If you are close enough, you will soon hear your name. The farther you are, the more you will struggle with hearing God. That's why the first place to build as a man on assignment is with intimacy. It's in the place of intimacy. That's the first work. It's not first in public appearance. It's first to ensure that the root goes deep so that the fruit will shoot out. Because you must understand something. The invisible still controls the visible. Please hear me today. What is unseen is what is determining what will be seen. If you struggle with intimacy, the ability to hear God for yourself, you will struggle in many areas of your life. Because I tell you, God still leads men. God still leads men to places. God still leads men to things. God still leads men to people. And as for them that are led by the Spirit, who are they? I can't hear you. Say it loud and clear. They are the sons of God. And that takes me to the second thing about this scripture. When the servant of the master saw that there was a crisis, the next thing he came to do, still on this issue of the word of God, is that he came to meet Elisha and said to him, what are we going to do? Inquiry. Learn the act of asking God, even when you know what to do. And then, when God speaks to you, learn the habit of doing what you are told to do, even when you don't understand. Master, what are we to do? Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and lean not on your own understanding. You will fall into many crises and trouble if you lean on what you know. You don't know anything, no? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And the next thing that he will do for you is that he will direct your path. Jesus Christ said, it is expedient that I go. John chapter 16. He said, but when I go, I will not leave you comfortless. I will give you someone. The Bible calls him a guiding spirit. He said, when he comes, he will lead you into all truths. You will fall into lies if it is not the Holy Spirit guiding your feet into truth. Lean not on your own understanding. I know that many of us have heard that God gave us sense so that we will not disturb him. But let me admonish you. Never fail to ask him, what will you have me do? When a man has come to know the Lord, the next question he must always ask, Acts chapter 9, the template of Saul that became Paul, is what will you have me do? When he encountered God on his road to Damascus, the first question he asked is, who are you, Lord? You want to know him first. The moment you know him, the next thing you are asking for is matching orders. What will you have me do? It is in doing what God wants you to do that there is life. You won't find life any other place. What you will find is many struggles. What you will find is trying to make things work because you are not following operational manual. The one that made you and forged you in his image knows better than you. So you must learn how to ask him, what should we do? There's a generation that is working with senses that has not learned how to rely on God's instruction that governs a man's life. The laws of God are life-giving. When God begins to instruct you, what is taking people 5 years, you will do it in 1 year. Because there's a God that sees a future that your eyes cannot see. So his instructions are usually based on the things that he knows will happen. I always give people this example. I remember many years ago when I began to walk, the first instruction that the Lord gave me, I remember my first day as I resumed work. He said, son, don't save in naira. He said, begin to save in dollars. Then dollar was 87 naira. As I see it plunge towards 900, I just smile. Because 9 years ago, the one who saw the end from the beginning knew that 9 years time, what I will need will not be naira dominated. And even me myself did not know 9 years ago I will need what I will need 9 years now. But the one that saw from the beginning gave a simple instruction. It took me 3 years to obey. But reluctantly, every year, God will come in new instruction. Because some of you are asking God for a new word. You have not obeyed the last one. And when a man has not followed the last instruction, stop asking God for a new instruction. He will refer you back to the old. Because it is obedience to the old that opens the door to the new. So every new year, as I do my retreat, God will come back and point to only one thing. You have not started saving in dollars. And after 3 years, I submitted to obedience. Thank God I obeyed. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and then He will direct your path. And then as this master was explaining to his servant, after the inquiry, one of the things he began to say to him is, fear not. Because as a warrior, one of the contentions and battles that you will fight is a battle against fear. Many times fear of what will happen when the instructions of God comes to you. Listen, there are battles that we fight together, but there will be many battles that you will have to go and fight on your own. You see, this is why many people are afraid. Many people are always afraid of shame. Because they think that God will instruct them and leave them alone. The God who instructs you does not depart from you. Fight fear. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Stop being afraid of what will happen and what has not even happened yet. Many warfare that you will fight for God, you will be alone, but what you will be standing on is only one thing. It's not the support of men. It's that you know that God asks you to do it. Listen to me. If God asks you to do anything, even if you are alone, and you are doing what God is saying you should do, you are blessed though. If you are alone, God is honoring you. You might not see the applause of men, but rejoice at the grace to walk alone obeying God. Because I know how difficult it is when God asks you to run and nobody is running after you. It doesn't always make sense, the instructions of God, but the instructions of God are rewarding. Learn how to obey alone, so fight fear. In Genesis chapter 6, God came to a man called Noah and said to him, build me an ark. And you need to understand what it means to build God an ark when rain is not falling. It's easy to build if we have seen rain fall before. Everybody understands what you are doing. How can you ask a man to orchestrate what nobody has ever seen before? So God was asking him to start something new. It's easier to copy something that you've seen work. If somebody has done something before, you can just try it. Because you know that most likely, the same way it worked for him, it will work for you. What do you do when God introduces you to a path that nobody has ever walked before? And he says, that's the lane I want you to walk. Because Noah was going to begin what nobody has seen before happen on earth. And it was not an assignment that was hidden. The assignment of Noah was not an hidden assignment. It's an exposed assignment. Meaning that if Noah fails, everybody will know. Can you do something at the risk that if you fail, everybody will know that you have failed? And the only thing that Noah will stand on
is that he was sleeping one day and God said. Now, God was not going to reward Noah after 2 months. I hope somebody is understanding what I'm telling you. God was not going to reward Noah's obedience after 10 years. Noah was not going to see the reward of his obedience after 50 years. 120 years is still building, and yet the rain that he said will fall has not fallen. You see, if you do ministry for 5 years now and certain things don't happen, people will call you and say God didn't call you. What Noah did was a ministry of 120 years, and the only members he had supporting him was his family. Noah's life was like a life that nobody desired, because you see, when you live for 120 years building something in a city center, it means that people will walk around probably on their way to farm with their little child, and the little child will ask, "Daddy, what is that man building?" And the father will say to the child, "Don't mind that man, no. He's a useless man. He said something called rain is coming. Don't be like him when you grow up." 120 years after, that little boy will grow up and become a grandfather on his own. He too will now tell his grandchildren that when I was a child, that's how useless that man has been. You too, don't be like him. But Noah kept building. What makes a man come to that stature that is not afraid of what people will say, but we say that God told me, even when nobody is believing him, fear not. That's why that's the first thing that God said to Mary. Because when the instructions of God sometimes comes, it can hit you so hard that you become afraid. Will I be alone? Will I run alone? What if he fails? But the question that I have for you is, what has God said to you? Because the word of God is a solid foundation you can stand on. And everyone who stands upon this rock, the rock does not sink. In the day you are alone, stand on the rock. In the day that there seems to be a storm, stand on what God said. I tell people all the time, if you live your life not documenting what God is saying to you, you are on a risky plane. Write the vision, make it plain, so that every time you read it, an energy comes and you run again. I know what God told me. There are many times that in prayer, all I'm remembering is what God said. He said he has gone before me, making crooked paths straight. Even when what I'm seeing is a stumbling block, I'm remembering what he has said. Even when I see is a Red Sea, I'm remembering what he has said. Because that is the only thing that counters your fear. That is the only thing that has power over your fear. The fact that his word has come to you. The army of God never forgets what God said to them. It is their motivation. So after 120 years, did rain come? I can't hear you. Did rain come? I came to tell someone today, if God said it, it will happen. If God said it, it will happen. So Elisha said to him, fear not. Now I want to begin to speak for the next 10 minutes before we pray about this issue of sight. Remember, I said 3 things will shape your mind and shape your life as an army of God. What you have seen so far, what you have heard so far, and what you have experienced so far. Even this fear that I'm talking about can come as a result of experiences. And so when God wants to reshape your life, he introduces you to new sight. He introduces you to new things that you begin to learn. And then he brings to you a different form of encounter. Let me give you another example with Saul. When you study the book of Acts, how Saul began, this is killing ministry, and he started to kill people everywhere, was because he was present on the day Stephen was killed. That's the first introduction of Saul. He was not part of the people who stoned. All he did was he helped them to hold their garments. So he stood afar off and he saw people stoning Stephen. And he stood and was helping them to hold their garments. By the next chapter, he became the chief of it. That's why when you now get to Acts chapter 9, his encounter with the great light of God had to bring blindness. How many of you know this story I'm talking about? He was blind so that he can see again. Because when the prophet who prayed for him now met with him, the Bible says something happened. Scales fell. Because there was something that he has seen that has shaped his life, and he must see again. Some of you have seen before. But what God is using this meeting to do is so that you will see again. What you are seeing is not right. So that's where I want to spend time with the issue of blindness with Elisha and his servant. Elisha said to his servant clearly, he said, "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then he prayed a prayer for his servant. He said, "Oh Lord, open his eyes that he may see." How can a man be able to see and yet we are still asking God to open his eyes? It means he's not seeing well. So there are three categories a man can exist in. Number one, a man can be blind. A man who is blind is living in darkness. A man who is blind lives as a beggar. You find that in Mark chapter 10 when the Bible was telling us about this blind man called Bartimaeus, because he lived his life perpetually begging. And when you see a man who is begging even for things that he has, most of the time it is because he cannot see. Blind men beg, and I'm not talking about literal begging for on the streets. I'm talking about begging for things that you are. You see people beg for relationship. They can't see the value of who they are because they are blind. When a man is blind, he misses opportunities. Several things that God brings for him, he cannot see it because he is blind. Also, he misses traps. I spoke about that also yesterday. Even the things that the enemy sets, he's still blind to it because he can't see. The place where blind men fall usually is a pit. And blindness is warfare. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, "The God of this world has blinded them." So one of the strategies of darkness is to ensure that you cannot see. So the first category is blindness. The second category is partial blindness. So you can see, but you are not seeing correctly. An example is the example of this man called Gehazi that was the servant of Elisha. Because he could see the army coming. He saw them. That's why he made a report. But he could not see what Elisha was seeing. He could not see the army around him. And I want to show you something in that scripture. Let's go back to that 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 16. And let's analyze what it means for a man to be partially blind. When the servant of the Lord, or Elisha, prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." This is a man who is seeing. Because if he could not see, he would not come and tell him, the enemy is coming. He can see. But Elisha still diagnosed him as there's a problem with your sight. The Bible says, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots of fire, round about Elisha." Please go back to verse 16. I want to tie something together. Can you read this scripture loud and clear? And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with what? Be with what? You have seen that. are more than those who are with them. Go back to verse 17. Now this is what the young man now saw. God opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Then the Bible is explaining what he saw. And behold, the mountain first. He saw a mountain full of horses and chariots, round about who? What did Elisha see? Elisha saw that mountain is full of horses of fire round about me and my servant. What did the servant see? He saw the mountain full of horses and chariots round about Elisha. How often do you see what God is doing for others and you have not yet identified what God is doing for you? Many are blind to the possibility of God for them. There are many things that God introduces to them, but yet they will never just see it. What they see first is the grace that is upon another person. How can Elisha be talking about us and yet this man never sees it even after God opens his eyes? Listen to me. If there is a problem with how you have been seen, there are still some people today who never believe that God can speak to them. He must speak to a man of God to them. So no matter how strong their relationship becomes, they will still seek for somebody somewhere at all times to hear God for them. Because they will always see the chariot of fire round about Elisha. They will never see it round about them. So even when God altered his eyes and opened it by himself, he was still barricading, putting a barricade in the possibility of God through him. This thing that I'm talking about affects even the good things that God is doing for many of us. You are not seeing it. You are seeing your neighbor's own, but you are not recognizing your own. The gifts of God within you, you are seeing your neighbor's own, you have still not recognized your own. People tell you how blessed they are through your life, you have still not seen it. And I tell you, if you don't see it, something will never happen within you. Is the hunger that keeps men awake. You will not be able to preserve what you don't see. And that's where we end today. Let me take us to the story of Moses and then we go and pray. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23. Because some of you need to apologize to God for many things he brought to you that you didn't see. Many things that he's doing through you that you have still not seen. And the army of God cannot joke with sight. Look at what the Bible says. He says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they did what? Shouted loud and clear. They saw that he was a proper child. I've been asking everybody, what does it mean to be a proper child? Because every parent in this season also gave birth to. I think I've been able to deal with some pregnant women for some time now, as sisters, cousins, and I know the rigors of those 9 months. The change in body, the change in behavior, so many difficulties. You can't give birth to something at the end of the 9 months and not see that is what? A proper child. But you see, there was something else that these people saw. Because what they saw was able to counter anything that could have made them afraid. The Bible says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were able to hide and preserve their child because their eyes were opened that what God had given them is proper. Listen, it is a tenable excuse in this generation. I'm talking about the generation of Moses. If people came around and they saw the mother of Moses and she was explaining to everybody that Pharaoh has killed her child, nobody will tell her that it is negligence. Nobody will tell her that you should have done better, because Pharaoh is killing everybody's child now. It is a crisis, is a worldwide crisis. It is a crisis that it is nationwide. This is not a problem of Moses' father or mother. Everybody is going through the same problem. But even in what everybody is going through, somebody is still saying, I have seen that this is proper, and if it will cost me my life, I will keep it. Until you see what God has given you like that, anything that comes before you, you will compromise. Anything that comes before you, you will push it away. You see, people become lost in what they have seen. You see, that's why when Jesus was saying, it sounded tough, that you will lose family for this thing, no? And he was saying that you will lose siblings for this thing. People are lost in heat. They don't care what they lose, even if there is their life, because they've seen what God gave me is precious and I must give up everything to keep it. The Bible was Jesus speaking, we're about to pray, about a man. He said he was digging one day, because as you dig, you will find something. As your hunger is getting wild, you will hit something. Keep digging. And then he found a treasure. The Bible said he went and sold all that he had. That selling all that he had was that he saw that that treasure is worth more than all that he had. What God has put within you as this army that is raising, have you seen how precious it is? As your eyes been opened, as God opened your mind to what it can be, three questions my father in the Lord asked me. One, who are you? They were rhetorical questions, but they are the questions that are forming my life now. Number two question, how do you fit in God's plan? Number three question, what can you be with what he has put within you? What can you be with the deposit that he has placed in you? What can you become? Because many of us don't know what we can become. And you see, God is so wise, he still hides a forest in a seed. Who would have thought that it was a lamb that will rescue the souls of men? You look as if you are powerless. The question is, what can you be? What can you be when you begin to recognize what God has put within you, and your eyes is opened every time, and you are seeing what God has given me is precious and it's not going to waste? Listen to me. If our eyes become open to this reality, there are many things that won't stop us. We will be unstoppable. Because that was how Elisha was. The confidence in the face of battle was because he was seeing something that others were not seeing. He was seeing those that were with him. He was seeing the strength, the authority, the power. And so when everybody was afraid, he had seen. When your eyes is open to see, there's a strength that you will have. Let me add this to it so that we go and pray. God, in this generation and even generations before us, I have come to realize God is sharing visions. That one of the reasons why sometimes your visions are intimidating you is because it is not your vision. Your only thought is your vision. As a matter of fact, if it is small enough for you to achieve on your own strength, it is proof that it's your own. But when you are imagining it and you see that, guy, this thing is too big for me to capture, then it's not your vision, it is God's vision. Because what God does is that he calls for partnership. So he lures men as they spend time in intimacy with him. He begins to give them what he is seeing. I'll give you maybe three examples. One day, our Father in the Lord, I always tell people, I repeat this thing because when something changes my life, I keep saying it. There's a message on YouTube. The message is not clear because it was preached in 1986. The title of the message is called The Fourth Dimension. Has anybody come across that sermon? Okay. It's a very old sermon. Even when you are listening to it, you won't hear anything well until some details. But go and look for it. It's called The Fourth Dimension by Pastor Adeboye. It was recorded with a tape recorder. In 1986, he stood before about 500 ministers. 1986, so. And he said to them, let me tell you what the future will look like. He was teaching on the ability to see. You see, these men that we think they are old-fashioned, they know something, no? He was telling them how to make the future. That's the purpose of the sermon, the fourth dimension. So he said, let me describe to you how the future will be. He said, I am standing and I am looking at a crowd of 7 million people. 1986. He said, I look at my left and I see a mass choir of 4,000. 1986, when the entire congregation worldwide is 700. He said, I'm seeing 4,000 people, mass choir. He said, I look at my left, 2,000 pastors. The auditorium is a tent because we can't fence it. He was describing 2022 because that was when the outburst started. In 1986. You see, that's not the one that shocked me. The one that keeps shocking me is because he says it. And he said, people call me a dreamer, but I will say it again. He said, I have seen the redemption camp having a passport of his own. He said, one day we will have an auditorium as big as Ibadan. You see, my problem is I'm trying to see it. That's my problem with me. I'm praying to God. Why can't I? I'm trying. I'm sitting down. I'm helping. Let me imagine. And he's seeing it and saying it. What kind of sight is that? If you are not saying what you are seeing, you have not seen yet. And you know, we have people also in our generation. Apostle knows one of our friends. He says it everywhere. 31 million souls on fire. He just says it. And you see, if you don't count well, because what we call as mastery of the impact of our Father in the Lord ourselves is 7 million people gathering. A young boy is now saying, I'm seeing 31 million. You think it's his eyes? He's not him. Those are the visions of God. And God is looking for those who will see what he is seeing. Because eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither as it comes to the mind of men. You are seeing the three elements that I told you shapes men. What God has in store for them that love him. God now went on to explain. He said, but these things have been revealed. It's not for everybody, but it has been revealed by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of a man? So also, no man knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. You know how the Bible now ended it? He said, now you have that Spirit, that you may know the things that have been freely given to you by God. So when the psalmist is saying, ask for nations, when God is saying, and I will give it to you, he wants you to see that the places are available to conquer. So that when you begin to call upon him, is not for things. It is call upon me and I will answer you. And the answer again, when you are asking for those little things, is that he will now show you great and mighty things that you did not know. You will just be seeing it. Kai! Nations are waiting to drink. That's where that my song came from when I keep singing it. Because I'm commanding something within me to stop being little when God wants to do great. So rise, rise. Jump on your feet and pray in the Holy Ghost. River, rise, rise. So river, rise. For nations are waiting to drink. The prayer you are praying as you pray in the Spirit is open my eyes, oh God. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Ah, you can pray better than you are doing, oh. Pray, 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 pray. Call upon me and I will answer you. And then I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. What are those deep things in God that is available? Open your mouth and ask until God begins to open your eyes to the possibilities that are in Him. Because it is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasures. Your eyes must be opened. Nations are waiting to drink. So rise, rise. River, rise, rise. River, rise. Nations are waiting to drink. So rise, rise, river, rise, rise, river, rise, for nations are waiting to drink. Rise, rise, river, rise. Flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Oh, let it flow right now, right here. As a river flows, begins to bring it's the life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. Open your mouth, I'm about to decree. Oh. Open your mouth, I'm about to decree. Decree, let my eyes be opened. I must begin to see into the visions of God. I must begin to see what God sees. No limitation. No limitation. I stop myself out of fear. I break free and I see. Nations are waiting to drink. Nations are waiting to drink. Nations are waiting to drink. Then we drink of this pure wine. Oh, I thought somebody will roar. Come and eat. There's help to
to pray. There's help to pray. Plunging. There's a river of help here. As you begin to pray, strength will come. As you begin to pray, the energies of God have been supplied this morning.
Life-giving river, oh, let it flow, oh, let it flow. So rise, river, rise. Oh, river, rise.
Nations are waiting to drink. Which nation is for you? Which territory is for you? Which city is for you? Kamana Kopila Kabadata.
Oh, river, rise. Canada is waiting. Pure river, rise. River, rise. The share is waiting to drink.
Let the Kopeta Mena. Two more minutes, pray.
Shadamani Takumana Tamana.
Ratabakula Makaya.
I see what God is saying, and I march.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Ratamakopelupakara.
My eyes are opened to the possibilities available in God. I see it.
Oh, pray. Kamba de makopele makaya. Reto simbre keta balahi.
Ra-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Eko pele mene lida. Jibra kopeta. Ero duda.
Ela bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada-bada.
Somebody enter. Araba, there's a flood here now. There's a flood. The help is here.
Your eyes have been opened. Light has come.
Run and heal a copy. The shores are waiting to drink. Rise. Your river, rise. River, rise. Nations are waiting to drink.
They are waiting.
Rise. River, rise. Oh, river, rise. Nations are waiting. Let it flow. Let it flow. Oh, let it flow right now, right here. Let it flow. Oh, let it flow. As the river flows, begins to bring every death into life. It's the life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right now. So out of my belly shall flow rivers of living. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. I'm about to decree for this morning. I always ask God to do something for me, to scar men. You know the way he scarred Cain.
that everyone who sees him will know that this one met with God somewhere for whatever purpose. So there must be a signature that he sent me to you. You repeat after me loud and clear, then I'm going to just decree. Either here or after here, those who God has sent me to, because he said to me, everywhere you go, there will be a David waiting for oil. There will be an Esther waiting for crowning. He said, put on your cloak as a Samuel and anoint them. So I'm about to pray, but I want you to decree after me loud and clear. My eyes are opened. Make it loud intentionally. My eyes are opened. My ears are opened. I see the visions of God. Again, my eyes are opened. My ears are opened. I see the visions of God. Finally, loud and clear, my eyes are open. My ears are open. I see the visions of God. Lift up your hands as I decree now. Father, thank you. I decree this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I can feel the power of God here already. Every David, every Esther that you have strategically positioned to be here right now, hidden in the wilderness, blind, lame, sick, struggling, that has been waiting for the appearance of this Samuel. I appear in the cloak of my prophetic ordination, and I stretch my hands towards you right now, wherever you may be. Let the angels that back this ordination, let the angels of my calling begin to find you wherever you are, in the name of Jesus. And let the oil of kingship land upon your head now. Thank you, Father. I'm seeing three people, two men or two guys and a lady. Wherever you are, I decree that everywhere that the enemy has placed you, I pull you out of it now. And I set you upon your throne. Thank you, Jesus. It's happening already. The oil is being poured. The oil is being poured. The oil is being poured. What the oil gives is strength. What the oil gives is consistency. What it brings is hunger. All of a sudden, you receive the ability to do the things that you have not done before. All the things you are supposed to be doing, you will now be strengthened to do it. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. The intensity is increasing. It will come. 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 One of the things that sustains men is routines. And it takes the energies of God to keep to it. That's what God does by the anointing. 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 Stronger. 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 Find them for me. It's getting stronger. Everything that you have struggled to do before, I decree now for angels of help that teaches men's hands to war and their fingers to fight. Some of you will begin to feel it upon your fingers now, because you are entering into the clan of David. It's time to war. Like fire, like fire, like fire. Scar them, Jesus. The scars of my ministry is light and alignment. All of a sudden, you will now be doing right. Something will compel you to live holy. It will compel you to walk with God. They are the scars of my ordination. Scar them. So the
that when you leave here, everything that you are supposed to break, if you refuse to break away from it, it will choose to break away from you. I decree in the name of Jesus, everything that has limited you, either tool that has made your weapons weak, the tools of warfare that God has given you, everything that has made it weak, my God, by his mercy, is forging you again. Is forging you again. That your tongue is becoming like the pen of the ready writer again. That your sound is becoming strong again. That from today and from this conference, there will arise men that God will shoot like the arrows of the mighty. That from here we arise men that God will begin to play you like the strings of David. Everywhere God plays you, demons will jump out. Kai, Apostle said yesterday that there are many with prophetic ministries. And I am seeing it so clearly because God is clothing you. You can feel something heavy coming upon your body. Yeah, that is it, that is it, that is it. That is it. Because you are beyond what you are doing. You are beyond what you are doing. You are beyond what you are doing. God is raising seers again. Those with words. Those with words like fire. Those with words like fire. I clock you. I clock you. I clock you. I clock you. I ordain you. I ordain you. I ordain you. I ordain you. Where's that young man? Where's that young man? Where's that young man? It's your day of coronation. It's your day of ordination. Touch, 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 touch. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that has made serving God difficult, finances, family, because you are at this kingdom prayer retreat, God will give you more than you are asking for. I pray for this great work and all of the prophecies that God has sent forth. Because God is not man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. I decree by the mercy of God that God will watch over his word to perform it in this house. One day I was asking God, when I started the walk, I told him to give me strong men. Because I'd been in a place where there were strong men. And if you have been in ministry before, and you are in ministry, or anybody that is listening, because what God is saying to one is saying to all, there's nothing like strong men. I have a program tomorrow, and that's actually my first program that will be me in Abuja in 9 years, because God never asked me to host any program by me. So other people's pictures will be there, other people's names will be publicized, but we are the one making it happen because it was instruction. So after I struggled with it, everybody I wanted to bring didn't come. I knew that God wanted to force this last, my last meeting to happen like that. But here's what I'm going to. I asked God for strong men, and then he said to me, I won't give you strong men. I will watch you to see what you will do with ordinary men. If you will be as David to make them strong. So the people that are organizing the meeting of tomorrow are teenagers. God will not always give you strong men, but God will give you the wisdom to make little strong. God will give you the strength to see people in debt, like the army of David, discontented, discouraged, people who have lost things, to come around your circle, and then in a matter of years, weak men are now called the strong and mighty men of David. But that's not how they were. The same man who now had a spear that could pierce 800 people in one go didn't come like that. He was a debtor. He didn't have anything. All he did was to come under, and we need to remember his age. The you know how old David was? If he became king of Israel at 30, he was not 30 years old yet when he was making weak men strong. So it's not by age. It's that God can give a man wisdom. And God is giving you that wisdom. Out of your loins will now come strong and mighty men. And out of them will come men whose spears will pierce the enemy. So shall it be in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you've been blessed. God bless you. Victory, come with it.